This is the moment of the year.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
New lady, what's up?
We're getting football back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And I'm not talking about quarterback competitions. I'm talking about the freaking New York Jets.
Yeah, man, I'm loving my time here. I mean, I've just embraced everything New York.
You're the mayor of New York.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, executive producer of Hard Knocks, Ken Rogers, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Can confirm, and there I am. Welcome to the second hour of this Monday program, a deep dive on college realignment and all the machinations between Pac-4 and Big 18 teams and Big 16 teams and the SEC. And it just, you know, that was funny. Years ago, it's not so funny anymore. The SEC, it just means more. Now I guess the hashtag is more means more. More means.
It just is more.
more. How about this? More is the mean. How about that? Is that a little too esoteric? Is that too big teen? That's my big 18 education talking right there.
It's all right, Rich. Man, I started in the Big East, and then I ended up at ACC. You know, it's all fine.
You know what?
Everybody moves.
Again, the ACC has got it made in the shade because and the SEC, too, because their conferences don't have a number in it. They could go whatever they want to do.
Right. South Coast Conference.
That's right. And as long as NBC pays Notre Dame more than the average of what the Big Ten would pay the school or the SEC would pay the school, you know.
Then who cares?
Then they're staying put. Yeah. As long as teams will play them, you know. I don't know if the Big 18 will be just like, we can't do any out-of-conference schedule anymore. I mean, they can just do conference schedules. Maybe that's where they're going to go. Just conference schedules right from the get-go. You don't have to warm up against any other smaller schools or anything like that.
I mean, Notre Dame has a pretty good schedule. They play Ohio State.
Well,
USC,
it's now. We'll see how it goes.
Clemson, Stanford.
It could just be exclusive. Hey, you know, we're just playing ourselves now. That's it. Sorry. See you later. And then suddenly Notre Dame will join the Big 19 to make it an even 20. Hour number three, Ken Rogers, the executive producer of Hard Knocks, talking about tomorrow night's debut of highly anticipated return of the series on HBO.
Love it.
And you can watch it here on Max on the Roku platform. But joining us right here on the program is my colleague from the NFL Media Group. Love sitting with him at the Combine and the Draft, and he's doing the Inside Training Camp series for NFL Network and NFL Plus. My friend Daniel Jeremiah back here on the program. How you doing, DJ?
I'm doing great, Rich. We're ready to go, man. It's football season.
We are ready to go, aren't we? So just to review, give me your itinerary so far this training camp season, where you have been, so the folks know.
Sure. It was not a geographically friendly trip. So we started out in Los Angeles with the Chargers, then went to Indy for the Colts, then came back to California for the Cowboys, then out to see the Eagles and then the Steelers, and then got home from that trip yesterday around noon. Mm. And at 2 o'clock, I got in the car and went back up to the Chargers for their scrimmage last night to double up on them. So we've been on the move a little bit.
Okay, so let me choose the Colts first. Why not? Because they got a rookie quarterback and Jonathan Taylor still holding in. So first order of business, did you see Jim Irsay's luxury bus, and was anybody on it at the time that you saw?
I was there that day.
Ah,
so
well, look at
all
you.
All that stuff went down.
Okay.
Yeah, I was right there.
So
yeah,
what?
I was at the, it was
all right. I didn't even know that. I was just throwing a dart at a board and I hit the bullseye. So what happened that day from your perspective? Walk me through.
Yeah, you've got the field in front of you. So imagine where I was like at towards the maybe like right on the front of the goal line, and then the practice is taking place obviously just a little bit, maybe at the 20-yard line to your right, and then at the end of the goal line there's maybe 15 yards, and then there's the bus parked. So you had Jonathan Taylor in the bus with Jim Irsay while the practice is going on, and word starts getting around social media that this meeting is taking place. And you look up in the stands, Rich, and there's, you know, a couple thousand people there. There were as many eyes on the bus as there were on the practice to see what the heck was going on there.
So we all know what happened on the bus and what's happened since the bus. And the question I have for you is, how do you think this is all going to wash out, Daniel?
Well, a couple sides to this thing. For me, on this whole running back debate, and I think, you know, you need to look at each of these cases individually in terms of, does leverage exist? And after being there and watching this team and seeing Anthony Richardson, we can talk about him in a minute. I'm excited about his future and what he can do and what he can be. But I would make the case that Jonathan Taylor has the leverage more so than any other of these running backs that have had issues with what's going on. This is an offense, when you go out there and watch him, I like Michael Pittman Jr. I like Alex Pierce. They've got some big, you know, intriguing tight ends. Jelani Woods is enormous. Mo Alley Cox, you know, two good, solid players. When you line up to play the Colts, Rich, the guy that you fear, the guy that you game plan around, the guy that can beat you quickly is Jonathan Taylor. So just for his talent and where he is age-wise and where he is in his career, and you figure these next, you got to feel really good about what he can accomplish these next 3 years. And then you add into that the pressure he would take off your rookie quarterback. This is one where I'm not saying you cave and pay him Christian McCaffrey money, but I would sure as heck say, okay, here's the number of what it would be the tag the next 2 years combined with what you're making now. And if I pay you an extra $10 million bucks over the top of that, I'd make him turn that down, and then I would let everybody then go ask Jonathan Taylor the questions, because right now, holding firm on what he's making, I think there's a strong case to be made. This is not the hill you want to die on.
Right, and then Zach Moss breaks his arm after you saw them, right? So they have actually one fewer running back that's ready for week one. So why? I don't get it. Like, why wouldn't they go ahead and adjust the contract? I mean, he's in a walk year, so you can't sit here and look at the rest of the league and say, you know, we did something that's completely unprecedented. We've got a kid that used to, you know, 2 years ago was the best rusher, or at least the league's leading rusher in Jonathan Taylor, and we're paying him. Like, I don't understand. I'm like, it's a total head scratcher. Why are they taking the stance that they're apparently taking, Daniel?
Yeah, and I mean, I get it's one of those things to say, well, we don't have to, right? We don't have to pay him the way the rules are and the way this is set up and the way his contract is.
Right.
I think he's making, what, $4 million this year?
Correct.
And so then you look at the tag, the next year would be 11, somewhere around there. So you're looking at a 7.5 average. To me, that'd be the best $2.5 million, you know, per year that you spent. Say, hey, we're going to give you an extra $5 million bucks on each of these 2 years. You know where you are. And we'll go ahead and give you a $5 million sugar for not only being a great player. Rich, he's like one of the best guys on the team. Everybody loves him. Like, he's a great teammate, all that stuff.
In the league, too.
I look at – yes. Yeah. And so, look, like Lane Johnson's a great example of a player who's a veteran. You know, it's a different – he's at a different stage in his career. But somebody that's universally respected. The Eagles don't have to give him more. They could have just played hardball with him with his current contract. But they recognize there's value inside the locker room with these types of things, too. It's more than just the money that you're giving a guy. And this is someone at the running back. Look, if he was 29 years old, I get it. You don't want to try and extend yourself out. You could be on the decline. He's a 24-year-old. I know he missed some games last year. I don't see that being as big of a concern over the next couple years. To me, this one I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me.
All right, so then let's get into what Anthony Richardson looks like. He's a starter, right? They have all intention to start this kid week one against Jacksonville. Yes?
I would think so. I mean, he was getting a lot of reps with the ones. Minshew played fine. He was, you know, I think they'd be, you know, competitive with Gardner Minshew. I think they have one of the better backup situations in the league with him. But, you know, to me, it's, with rookies, do you get out to these rookie training camps and you see guys that just looked overwhelmed? And you're like, okay, you can't. Like, you just, I think he's got a chance, but this is going really fast and he's swimming. I didn't get that sense at all. You know, I think they've already started a lot of zone read stuff, so they'd be able to really incorporate his legs early as he's continuing to grow into the offense that they want to run there with Shane Steichen. But they can rely on his legs early, and then, you know, throwing the football. Rich, he's enormous. He was about 250, 255 the day I was there. It's hard to stand out on an NFL field, and he does. And the ball jumps out of his hand, and they can just train him. Look, hey, at this point in your career, if number one in the progression's there, bam. Number two's there, bam. If once we get to number two, you're running. But just get out and go. You use your athleticism, and we'll develop the rest of it later.
So the huge upside that you and I were talking about in Indianapolis in February and early March when this kid was spinning it at the combine is absolutely a still sky's the limit from your perspective just a couple weeks into training camp in August.
Yeah, no, and I think just let me give you a warning. Just be prepared that during the early part of the season, if people aren't dialed in and watching every snap of the Colts, you're going to have the pro Richardson crowd that's going to take two throws that he makes in a week and just say this is the most unbelievable player you've ever seen. And you're going to have the anti Richardson crowd take two, underneath throws that are, maybe wildly inaccurate and try and paint him as another thing. So if people are really dug in their camps on this thing, they can try and make their case either way. I would just say, I think the kid's going to be really good. I think you got to be patient with him in terms of what your expectations are. But he's not physically overwhelmed. He's not mentally or emotionally overwhelmed. Put him out there. Let him get going. Live with some of the bumps and the bruises. But there'll be some highlights. I can guarantee you that.
Daniel Jeremiah, my compadre from NFL Network, in the middle of his training camp tour right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Steelers look good. Based on your tweet that I saw over the weekend, I'll give you the floor on what you saw and how good you think Kenny Pickett can be in year two with a leap right in front of him. Daniel.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the more improved teams, in the league. So when you look at them and you say, okay, the best way to, the formula for winning in the NFL, great quarterback play and pass rush. You get T.J. Watt back healthy, Alex Highsmith and him getting to play together all year long. You know what the numbers speak for themselves when T.J. Watt's out there, for a full season. So the pass rush is going to be really good. Then you look on the other side, they've made so many improvements along that offensive line. It looks like a totally different group. So they're in better shape there. Pickett gets a chance to get all the reps, which he didn't last year at this time. So he's just getting all this work in. They're going to be able to run the ball better because of this offensive line. The tight end, I mean, Darnell Washington, he was listed at in the 260s. Rich, I've been doing this for 20 years, and he's I promise you, he's closer to 290 than he is to 260. Wow. He is enormous. He is enormous. He is not an ounce of fat on him. You talk about standing out on an NFL field. He's a giant. And he was doing one-on-ones against T.J. Watt more than holding his own in pass protection. Tomlin was right in the middle of it. He's going to be a real, real steal for them in the third round. But Pickett, when you watch him, everything that Joe Burrow does well, I think are strengths for Kenny. Now, Kenny doesn't do all those quite to the Joe Burrow level, but he has all those same strengths. And, with the group that they have in front of him that's better, George Pickens has made highlight reel catches every day. He did when I was there as well. He's got a chance to be a legit one. I think I think this team, I saw somebody on TV the other day debating, are they going to be the fourth team in the division? I'm like, I think they can win this division. Forget finishing in last place.
How about that? I mean, they did, as you know, finish strong last year. You always got to look at teams that finish strong to start equally as strong this year. And Joey Porter's apparently having a terrific camp. And Pickens, as you know, mossed him. But other than that, that's the only video that's come out pretty much about Joey Porter Jr. He looks good. They got the offensive line shored up, as we all know, in the first round. And Najee Harris coming back. They are under the radar. No question about that. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Can I give you a quick Tomlin story
Please.
About how good this guy is?
Yes.
Which, by the way, shocks me sometimes when you tweet something or what do we X something? I don't know what we call it anymore. But when you put something out there and then people push back, like really, you're choosing to push back on Mike Tomlin being a good coach? Is that what we're doing now? But I was talking to Porter, and they had a scrimmage the night before I got there, night scrimmage. I thought they'd be in helmets, and just kind of doing a walkthrough. They're full pads. They're tackling to the ground. It was a physical practice. Porter's exhausted afterwards when you get a chance to visit with him. And I said, hey, what did Tomlin tell you guys before this practice? I'd imagine you guys probably thought it wasn't going to be as heavy and as physical. He said two things. He said, guys, we're going to find out who loves football and who's comfortable being uncomfortable. And then that was it. And he did.
I'd love it. And I imagine he did find that out by the end of the practice, Mike Tomlin.
It was energetic and competitive. It was a great practice. To show you what kind of respect he has, I got a text because I had tweeted that out.
Mm-hmm.
I got a text from a head coach in the SEC saying, can you call me? I don't know what he wanted. So I called him when I got back to my hotel. What's going on, coach? He goes, hey, what's Tomlin doing? How you said it was really competitive. How so? Well, you know, what was he doing during practice? What was he saying?
Love it.
I'm like, this shows you how respected that guy is.
Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. How did the Eagles look to you?
Deep. Full disclosure, I did most of our TV hits from the parking lot, so you know, I didn't get to see all of practice.
That's why I love you. All right, they look deep. You're deep, is what you're saying. You were too deep from the field, is what you're saying. Okay, all right.
Yeah, no, I got a chance to do some car scouting. By the way, if anybody ever wants to go to training camp and play a fun game, just get right outside the player's interest and try and guess who's in the car that drives them.
Well, you could guess depending on how expensive they are, and you know who might have just signed a contract. By the way, Jalen Hurts turns 25 today. How about that? Kid turns 25 today, coming off of that season last year. And I guess that's the general sense, is that they got deeper. And they didn't appreciably change too much. You know, obviously they lost both coordinators. But I guess then let me ask you, what's your sense of the Eagles prior to the preseason beginning right now, DJ?
Yeah, I mean, I got a chance to visit with, you know, a bunch of personnel guys, coaches, and players after practice and
sure.
just kind of take their temperature a little bit. The couple of things that I came away, they said, you know, A.J. Brown is so much more comfortable. Think about how good he was last year. But the chemistry continues to grow with him and Hurts. And they think he's, you know, there's another level for him to reach.
Well, that's the secret sauce, isn't it, Daniel? I mean, that's everybody keeps talking about the run game, but Hurts and Brown are an elite A-plus deep threat. And we're not even talking about the Heisman Trophy winner that runs like the wind on the other side of the field. You know what I'm saying? So that is pretty big. So I guess what else did you glean from the personnel about the run game with Miles Sanders now in Carolina? I mean, DeAndre Swift was acquired on the third day of our draft coverage. So what do you got for me on that front, Daniel?
Yeah, Swift's going to catch the ball a bunch. So they'll be able to get him out in the formation. You'll see him line up in the slot. They'll split him out wide. It's not going to be just screens and checkdowns. Like, he'll be a big part of the passing game. And then the rest of it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be a committee. You know, it's going to be probably not great for fantasy football because you're going to have Rashad Penny, and Kenneth Gainwell still has his role there. You've got Trey Sermon there, Boston Scott. I mean, they've got a lot of guys. So it'll be kind of a committee approach from that standpoint. But in terms of, you know, being involved in the passing game, I think that's where you'll see DeAndre Swift be a big part of it. And, you know, the forgotten guy there, Dallas Goedert's probably top five, you know, 5, 6, 7 tight end in the NFL. And that's just another, you know, he's another weapon that they can deploy. So they are loaded. Their second string, you look at their second string offensive line. There's, you know, 2-3 guys that would be starting for other teams. So they have a deep roster. They can absorb some injuries, you know, provided it's not at the quarterback position.
Daniel Jeremiah here at the Rich Eisen Show microphone and the Move the Six podcast co-host right here on the program again. The Cowboys, Jerry Jones was telling the rest of the division to mind their P's and Q's that Dallas is going to be improved. Is that just Jones' bluster, or can you back that up? More meat on the bones there, Daniel.
Yeah, I love the defense. I mean, I think defense got a chance to be, you know, one of the best in the league. They've got, you know, big time. Michael Parsons is a freak show. I mean, you go to these camps, and again, you're kind of looking for that thing that jumps off the field at you. They can't block him. I mean, he just wrecked the whole practice. Probably had 3 sacks the day I was there. He's in the backfield disrupting almost every run play. They had no answer for him. So he's the legit defensive player of the year, dude. So that's what the first thing that jumped out to me. But they're good up front. They've got linebackers that can really run. They've got some depth there in the secondary. It was nice to see. It's cool to see. Sometimes guys just need a little change of scenery. Malik Hooker, who just got paid, has been a really good fit for them. He had a pick the day I was there. He was making plays over the top. You know, Diggs is going to make his plays. So they've got a really, really good defense. Offensively, Rich, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little concerned. It's not Dak. I know there's some Dak hate, I guess, out there. Dak's not going to be the problem. They need to get – when I was there, you did not have your future Hall of Fame guard in the mix in Zach Martin. So you don't have him there. Tyron Smith, who's had a wonderful career, he did not look good the day I was there. He just looks like he's really aged and struggled. And then with Zach out of the lineup, you know, you're taking a 6 foot eight backup and Josh Ball, putting him in at guard, and he's gonna have a tough time hanging in there. And Terrence Steele's coming off injury, so he wasn't a full participant. So it was, to me, in the fronts, it was very lopsided when they were going against each other. It is a defensive dominant group. Offensive line wise, that would concern me. I love Brandon Cooks, the addition there to be a deep threat over the top, but in order to get the ball over the top, you got to be able to hold up in pass protection. So that offensive line to me is something I'm a little worried about.
And Pollard's going to be able to be a bell cow in a way, or do they need Zeke back in this mix? Certainly with Ronald Jones suspended for 2 weeks. What do you got for me there?
Yeah, maybe a regular cow. I don't know if I'd put the bell cow on him. I don't think you want to give him I don't even know what you call it. What do you call a regular cow, by the way? Just a regular cow?
Cow. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, just a cow.
Okay.
Yeah, no bell. No bell for him yet.
Okay.
So I think you don't want to overwhelm him with carries on his body. I think that would be that would be the law of diminishing returns with that. So they're going to have to spread the rest of those carries around. They like, you know, I was there. The coaching staff really likes Rico Daddle and Malik Davis. And, you know, you got Deuce Vaughn, who's going to be a fun changeup option for them to throw out there. But, yeah, I don't think that you just take Zeke's carries and dump them on Tony Pollard. I don't think that's going to work.
And then lastly, Daniel Jeremiah, since we just discussed the Cowboys, this is kind of connective tissue with the Los Angeles Chargers. What will the Kellen Moore coordinated offense look like for the freshly minted gazillionaire Justin Herbert? What do you have for me on that front?
Well, it's an offense. I think the biggest thing for them, two issues last year. Everybody talks about, well, you couldn't, you know, you didn't get the ball down the field with explosive plays, and that was kind of the knock on Mike Lombardi, and that's what you're kind of hoping was going to happen. Or Joe Lombardi, not our former colleague Mike Lombardi, with Joe Lombardi. So you had, that was the one concern, and they didn't run the ball. They couldn't run the ball at all. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out those two are connected. So Rashawn Slater was not at the scrimmage last night. He was there when I was there earlier in camp. I think he just got a little bug or something. He'll be fine. But when he's out there and healthy, this offensive line, their front five is really good. And with Kellen Moore, I think they'll be able to run the ball. You'll see a lot of that outside zone, and Austin Eckler's perfect for that, you know, setup. So I think they'll be able to run the ball, which is then going to allow them to push it down the field, which Kellen we'll do off play action and be on the move a little bit with Herbert. So I think it's got a chance to be a much more explosive group, and that's not, you know, it's not really a shot on Lombardi. They weren't healthy up front along the offensive line last year. They couldn't run the ball, and that's going to be kind of the key to this thing. But I was there last night, Rich, and Justin Herbert, you kind of forget last year that rib injury that he had against Kansas City, I believe it was week two,
yeah,
that he just played through, and is he played great. But that, his legs were not a big part of his game last year. And you're out there last night and you've seen him take off and go, and he's, you know, that's another level that he can get to when he can use his legs. It'll be an exciting group.
The TCU receiver that ruined my new year, Quentin Johnson, he looks to be a difference maker as well. What do you think about him coming into this season on offense there?
Yeah, he's
DJ.
He's got big time juice. Ignore, you know, that's one of the things about the common. We love it, and I have a great time with you. We have a blast. Some guys, sometimes the 40 times don't match up. Like, he looks a heck of a lot faster than he timed. He gets on top, just as you saw, you know, in college football. The first day I was out there, when he was out there, he gets on top of coverage. He gives them another, you know, power forward body out there with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Josh Palmer's having a really good camp. So they've got four guys. Legit dudes. He wasn't at the scrimmage last night. I think him and Bosa and Slater, I think, might have had the same little bug. But no, he'll add another element to that. I mean, they're power forwards ever. They're all 6'3". They're all huge.
Yeah, I know. I have one last question for you, Daniel Jeremiah. I'm trying to figure out which one would be the best one to ask. So, I've got the Hard Knocks executive producer Ken Rogers coming on in hour number three. What's your just two cents about the Jets with all the buzz surrounding them and everything about this season? What do you have for me on that? What's your concerns, or you think that they're set? What do you got for me on that, Daniel?
I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't be optimistic. You know, yeah, everybody's going to say the same thing. You got to keep the offensive line healthy. I think you know, people look and say, oh, it's got, you got to keep Becton healthy and get him out there. I mean, that'd be great. To me, the chess piece for this offensive line, you saw it last year, is Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah.
Because Vera Tucker can play tackle. You get a tackle go out, he can bump out there, he'll be fine. You know, he'd be an awesome guard. But he, to me, that's like, if you want to put somebody in bubble wrap on the Jets, I don't think many people would think of that one. But that's the one, that keep Elijah Vera Tucker healthy. And you know, Rodgers is happy. I talked to folks in the building, and it's been awesome. You know, the feedback, the communication has been excellent. So I don't worry about them there. And then defensive line-wise, they're, you know, gosh, they're going to probably carry 10 guys again. They're really, really deep and loaded. So I know, I don't know the phrase you use, Rich, where you say, like, you step on the banana peel, or you're waiting for the bad news to happen.
Oh, don't worry, Daniel. I've got I could do a top 10 list of all of those analogies from my 54 years of being a New York Jet fan. You know, we've got all of them. So
yeah.
Don't worry about that. I can help you with that.
I think let's just, whatever wood you've got, knock on it. But
okay,
it's exciting. I know that it's exciting. It's going to be fun to watch.
All right, and then just as an omnibus, four quarterbacks for the Niners, three, and if it's three, who are the three, and in what order? Your guess, Daniel Jeremiah. Give it to me. What do you got?
My guess would be, I think Purdy's the starter. I don't think there's any debate there. And then I'll guess and say that Darnold ends up being the two. And then I'll be fascinated with Trey. I love Trey coming out. I love Trey now. Let me just give you one, just like file this. This is with no insider information.
But excellent.
Just looking at all these rosters and looking at teams.
Yes, sir.
The Atlanta Falcons, if Ritter's not working and you've kind of designed this offense with, you know, with Bijan Robinson and Algier, and you know what Arthur Smith, how he loves to run the football, I wouldn't mind seeing it. If the 49ers don't, you know, if they're a little down on Trey Lance and somehow it doesn't work out in Atlanta, I wouldn't mind that marriage. So give that a whirl.
Okay. So he would be, for the lack of a better analogy, the Tannehill of that offense, because that's where Arthur Smith came from. So that's what you love.
Right. I don't see why he couldn't do that and do that at a pretty high level. He needs to play. Trey Lance needs, I mean, I still believe in the guy's talent. He just needs to get a chance to play. He hasn't had a chance to play.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like he's going to get it either this year, from what you just said. They wound up 300 depth chart.
I mean, they love Purdy. And by all accounts, he's played really well coming off this injury. So,
nice nugget out the door. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Daniel Jeremiah. Greatly appreciate it.
Appreciate you, buddy.
You're the best, man. At Move the Sticks. Check him out on Chargers Radio, obviously, NFL Network, NFL Media Group, NFL Plus. Let's not forget that. And then, of course, his podcast, Move the Sticks with Bucky Brooks, DJ, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Wow, lots to download from that. And we'll take a break, and we will do that when we come back. And then your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Ken Rogers, the executive producer of Hard Knocks, top of the next hour and next hour as well. Little bit of overreaction Monday as well. Look, every person and every night's different, but no matter who you are, you want to live up to your full potential. And when you sleep on a Sleep Number smart bed, quality sleep makes it easier to reach your unique potential no matter what each night brings. You know, when you wake up after a bad night's sleep, you are not yourself. That does not happen with Sleep Number. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference, especially because couples can choose their ideal firmness, comfort, and support on each side of the bed, so it's perfect for both of you. Go for it, folks. Go for it. Sleep next level. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. And now, don't miss Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Get on it. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning, drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen. Put your hands together for the most recent Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, of Oklahoma. Where is that trophy right now?
I sleep next to it.
It's on your nightstand?
Yeah.
So it's Good Morning Heisman every day?
Yeah, tight.
Seriously, it's right there next to, like, there's a night table next to Kyler Murray's bed and the Heisman Trophy is resting
there. Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've had it in your arms, like you've been spooning with it by accident?
No, there's no spooning.
There's no Heisman spooning? No. By the way, I would absolutely spoon with the Heisman if I won the Heisman. Now taking part in the Rich Eisen Show Throw Challenge, Kyler Murray, is this the first NFL Duke ball that you have thrown? That's an NFL. Oh, my God. You won't even answer that. Wow. Go for it, Kyler. Go for it. That's one. That's two. Kyler Murray. That's three. By the way, that's four. Those are all Duke NFL footballs. Just wanted everyone to know that.
First overall pick.
That's four. That's five.
Wow.
These are the footballs Kurt Warner complained about. That's six. That's seven. That's it. Oh, my goodness. Here, let's get some. Here we go. Keep going.
I'm off.
You got one more?
Hold on, this is getting bad.
Here we go. No, it's getting bad. You got seven for first seven. Good enough. Seven out of ten. Kyler Murray. Good to see you, man. Congratulations. He won the Heisman and, it seems, the Rich Eisen throwing contest in the same year. That's a first. No one could ever take that away from you. Happy 26th birthday to Kyler Murray. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That's quite the nugget from Daniel Jeremiah out the door. Keep an eye on the Atlanta Falcons.
A theory, not a nugget. I mean, he says based on zero inside information.
I understand it's based on zero inside information, but Daniel's ear is directly to the ground.
Like he just walks around with his
ear. He does. It's really wild. I've seen him do it. It's kind of crazy.
Keeps a grinding.
He keeps a grinding in his pocket. No, he asks me to hold him like a metal detector. That's how I walk him around the combine like that. You know, just listening for gold underneath the ground. Keep an eye on Desmond Ritter's ability to play, and then they'll get through the season with Taylor Heinicke and go get Trey Lance.
When's the trade deadline this year?
I don't know. Well, I imagine it's October, since that was the month that was associated with an exclamation point from Jim Irsay to Albert Breer about when they would definitely not be trading Jonathan Taylor.
October 31st, 4 p.m. Eastern.
And how about him saying Jonathan Taylor, he feels, has the most leverage of anybody out there.
Now that was interesting.
On the running back front, like, good luck. Good luck. With Deion Jackson and Anthony Richardson and Alec Pierce and Michael Pittman and Mo Alley Cox. Best of luck. I don't know. I just don't think. That's the thing, too, with these running backs. They're turning some of the nicest guys. Austin Eckler, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs. Turning them into total a-holes. Unless, of course, you're Mark Schlereth and he's just like, shut up and play. Stop zooming and get out there. run the football. See Kareem Hunt's showing up to New Orleans with Alvin Kamara suspended for the first three games of the season.
Saints visit.
Is that what's happening?
Saints visit.
Like you just sit ATC until all of a sudden somebody gets hurt or suspended, and then you'll go there just because they need you for at least 2-3 weeks, and then what? Then what? Then you don't do anything?
You play well enough to keep a job.
Or then they send you home? I don't know.
If you ball out, they won't send you home.
You know? How about the Cowboys? They kind of like a whole, like, they like a bunch of the guys. And Tony Pollard's just the cow, not the bell cow, because he's not, that's not his deal.
Yeah, that was a little worrying when he broke that down.
Yeah.
It was not worrying because that's what I've been saying since the day that Zeke got released.
And Zach Martin is just going to be like, go for it.
Yeah, that's the
you
one.
Put
that
a
really
6 foot eight guy at guard. While I'll just sit at home and you know get ready for my gold jacket one day.
That's the one that really makes no sense to me, is him because like you said, Tyron going to the Hall of Fame, but yet you know he's been playing since he was 19. It takes a physical toll.
And so the bottom line is just like all these teams are just like then don't play until what? Then you make a miss one or two games, and then you'll be like, Uncle, come in, we got you. You know, again, these are all stories the Monday before preseason games hit. And did you see Trevor Lawrence is going to be playing? And then the whole thing that happened over the weekend that about Jordan Love. Did you see? I mean,
I read the
all
read
of a sudden
article,
Adam Schein, what he said on CBS or sports and him saying that this guy can't play football, essentially.
All right. I read Matt Scheidman, our buddy from The Athletic who covers the Pack, just saying that, you know, he wasn't spectacular.
Right, and then Adam picked
terrible,
up on that.
But then he had a nice 30-yard touchdown pass in the two-minute offense.
This whole business of talking in absolutes.
Yeah. Hey, we haven't played any preseason games yet.
Everyone
calm down.
I try to stay away from the absolutes. And again, could you imagine what if Twitter or the topic bar world and the conversation world that we live in right now existed when Trent Green got hurt? Do you know how if freezing cold takes existed in 1999, what a treasure trove about the guy who sits two seats to my left every single Sunday morning? You know?
Yeah, that's why, you know, NFL is the ultimate.
Tom Brady.
You never know.
That's Kurt Warner, you can keep going.
You never know.
And I'm not saying, you know, Jordan Love is either of those guys. The problem for Jordan Love, essentially, is Packers fans have had the remarkable 30-year run of first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacking. 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking, one to the next. And now Jordan Love is the guy after, you know, I always say you don't want to be the guy after the guy. Aaron Rodgers disproved that. But I guess you don't want to be the guy after the two guys in a row.
In a row, back to back, in a row. You know, the Colts were kind of in a similar situation going from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, who was great right away.
Right.
And then now the last 5 years, they've just been searching.
But if Andrew Luck had kept playing and had the same scenario.
It would have been similar, yeah.
Well, I mean, he was 4-4 in his playoff career and had the misfortune. He would have kept banging his head against the Tom Brady ceiling like the rest of most of the AFC quarterbacks, with the exception of Peyton Manning and Big Ben. And Flacco.
Flacco one time. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You would have, maybe Luck could have snuck into the Flacco role,
maybe
potentially.
We got to assume if Andrew would still be playing, I mean, he'd be in year 12 right now.
And having an opportunity to take the Colts, you know.
Maybe there isn't an issue with Jonathan Taylor here.
He would have been the one player to knock on the luxury bus door and say, hey, can I be part of this chat?
Right. Hey, maybe you take a little bit of me and give it to him and... let's figure this out.
The fact that the Colts will not do what Daniel Jeremiah said, which is, okay, you're making four this year. Hear us out. Next year's tag is 11. Put it together, that's 15. What if we gave you 2 years extension starting right now? 2 years, what would this be? $24 million.
You're going to guarantee all
that? Okay, so we'll give you eight more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight more this year. And then a little bit more than the franchise next. And then we'll talk about what you look like from now, from there on out.
For 25?
Yeah. Again. Right? The franchise tag will be more than 12 by that point in time. Then we could see how this goes right now. We don't have to do this, but we're willing to do it just for you. Let's get out on the field. And again, he might be wanting a 3-4 year extension. He might want the Cole Kmet 4 year, $50 million. And then they'll be like, get out of here. So again, that's what Joe Shane was saying when he was on the show, the GM of the Giants last week. He's like, I know what I offered. I know what he wanted. I'm at peace. We're good. And we need those extra couple million dollars in case we need to sign somebody in the middle of the season. And, you know, the pushback to that is, well, why don't you take out of the hide of your quarterback? Why do you got to take it out of the hide? Like, why are you making this stand on your best player? Who the locker room loves and your fan base loves. Why are you taking this stand? Why are you counting your million here, million there at the expense of your running back?
And the Colts are in a better position than the Giants are because they have a rookie quarterback who they're obviously starting week one.
Exactly. And this is the same organization that told the quarterback who retired, and that's his well within his rights, keep the 25. We don't need to take that back from you. What, like, the GM couldn't have used that money? That's why, again, this doesn't make sense to me. You know? Let's go to Charlie in Denver. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me. Love the show.
Thanks, pal.
Just wanted to circle back on the conference realignment. I have this crazy idea. It might be too crazy. You tell me. Would a FIFA-style relegation promotion system not work for the NCAA if we had four 16-team conferences and then a sub-conference for each one?
You know, I get it. I think that's what's going to end up having to get together at some point. You know, this realignment that's taken place, and thanks for the call, all that's left is – what happens with the ACC? Can Florida State and Clemson, could the jewels of the ACC, with all due respect to the other schools I didn't just mention and yours, Chris, can those get poached by the SEC, the Big Ten, or whatever the Big 12 is going to call themselves, or they just stay put? That's the question. And Notre Dame. Who else is out there, right? No one's going to poach from the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12. And what's left, if you will, of the Mountain West and AAC and Pac-4 is not, I think, other than maybe the two schools, Stanford and Cal together, might be of interest to some others. They're sitting there in San Francisco, the large market of San Francisco. And academics as well.
Too,
so,
yeah.
You know, if that matters. So that, who else is out there? So if those are, that's it. So once that all comes together, now you've got three super conferences. And the question is does the NIL and paying of players, which Jay Billis is saying based on the court system is going to happen. The NCAA and the schools are going to lose the case of restraint of trade on players if they're holding down them being paid. He's basically, you know, he said the Supreme Court has laid it out and that the court systems are going to win this case. So when that all happens and now it's a free-for-all of I've got to pay this recruit $15 million or that recruit $12 million and whatever, and it starts going absolutely haywire and there's no rules similar to the fact that the NIL has no rules, then everybody's going to get together and try and create their own Super League with their own rules and their contracts and whatever, and then that'll be that. I have no idea when that happens. But the whole idea of, like, let's currently set this up right now, that ain't happening until it's forced. And the way that everything's going right now is the way, clearly, these schools want it. More phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program right here on the show. Ken Rogers of Hard Knocks coming up. Overreaction Monday after him.
Are you currently enjoying the show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Okay, back here on our program. So I did have a moment in Canton where I stepped up and predictably had the OH yelled at me at the podium.
Yeah, can we get into how the jacket dinner went?
Oh, by the way, the jacket dinner is one of the most special events that nobody sees. You know, the network used to broadcast it. We don't anymore for whatever reason. That's above my... flow chart, but it is special.
Yeah.
And they added a real special aspect of it, that the jacket gets put on by a member of the Hall of Fame as selected by the person going
in.
Yeah,
I saw a few.
Now, normally it was always whoever presents on Saturday does it, but to switch it up on Friday night, now they ask the enshrinee, who do you want who's returning to put the jacket on you? DeMarcus Ware chose Strahan.
That's cool.
Saw that.
Yes, and Joe Thomas chose Jerome Bettis. And you could see some of the Browns fans going, yeah, Joe, what, who? And Joe Thomas said that he just loved Bettis' style and what he stood for and how great he was and nice. Chose him.
That's neat.
It sure is. And Zach Thomas chose Jimmy Johnson, who also, I think, presented him because Jimmy drafted him.
Jimmy not in the Hall of Fame.
Jimmy Johnson is in the Hall of Fame. He's not in the Ring of Ring he's not of in the honor, Dallas Ring of Honor.
Right.
Which is just
yet.
Oh. Well, that's just another whole ball of wax. I mean, when are we going to finally get over that?
As a Cowboys fan, on
the 40th anniversary of that?
As a Cowboys fan, you're never going to get over that. Okay? Because that's the difference between this having two more trophies or not. So
yeah.
If they just could have worked it out,
I know,
Rich.
Right. I got it. I hear you. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. A lot of college football on the brain today, huh? The coaches have chimed in. You see the first coaches poll?
I did.
Georgia's number one.
Looks good.
And then there's Michigan two above Alabama. Okay.
That's shocking.
How about this? Well, Ohio State's fourth, votes. But they got a first place. So yeah, Michigan didn't get any first place votes.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
LSU, then USC, then Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, and Tennessee.
Yes, indeed.
It's great.
Okay.
I was looking at the top 12. I mean, it might be a good discussion, like, which of those 12 don't make it? Because, you know, we're going to...
Got it.
We're going to 12 next year, but yeah, I mean...
This
like,
year,
which
I know there's one last one of the four.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, the realignment with the Big Ten, I don't think folks realize... that the Big Ten is going to a one big mosh pit of a standings like the Big 12
so
or
no,
Big 16.
So no split divisions.
So that's not like, you know, the winner of the toughest division faces the winner of the much less competitive division.
Oh, for the championship.
And then the Big Ten championship
that's
going to be out.
Starting this year? Or
I believe it's next.
Okay.
And
when USC and UCLA join up. Right.
Right. When it's just the mere 16 teams before the 18 come in, I don't know how you could do it with 18. You're still going to, you'd have to split it. I don't know. But the problem with that is, you know what that is? I don't think a lot of people realize this, is that it's entirely possible that Michigan and Ohio State in late November is for nothing except pride. You don't want to really lose to each other, but you don't really want to show them everything you have because you know you're already facing each other, win or lose.
If you, in guys, the are, championship, if you guys game, are 1-2.
That's the way it's been pretty, you know,
right.
And this is not a brag of any sort. That's the way it is a lot of years.
Right.
Where it's like, this is now for the right to go play for the Big Ten championship game and for the right to have standing with the committee that meets every single week to put you in the Final Four if you win your championship game. Now, if there's 12 getting in, both are most likely going to get in. Mm-hmm. To the big playoff. The only question is, do you get to host a game or not? And that will be of significance.
Buy. Buy,
right, right. Buy or not, or hosting a game or not. And that level of significance will be sacrificed on the altar of the game being played at full strength. Might rest players against each other in the Big House or the Horseshoe because you got that following week's importance. Like Blake Corum sure as hell wasn't going to play in the Horseshoe this past year.
This is the new world order of college football.
That's what I'm saying.
The playoff and the money matter more than your rivalry.
I'm just wondering if we're complaining about, or at least I'm complaining about it right now, in the same way that a lot of folks are saying playoffs are going to ruin college football anyway because the do or die aspect to every Saturday will be gone. That, you know, when we went to school, it was all about you better stay undefeated. You lose one game, you're out.
Yeah. Pretty much. Or if you're going to lose early.
And a lot of people thought, and a lot of people thought, well, that's the way college football is being played, but it's now ruined. And then we saw the college football playoff, even with that fakakta of BCS, which I thought stunk, even though I know you keep pointing out the math and the slide ruling and all of that stuff that I remember Brad Edwards used to do a segment on ESPN all the time, you know. Like the nutty professor and like, okay, well, I trust you. They're the best teams.
Remember the 1 year Alabama lost like the week and then still made it?
So, but this one's different, I feel. Like it's entirely possible.
It's different.
The game,
it's different for you.
What do you mean?
It's different for you
just because
that game matters much more to you.
Well, it matters to a lot of the ratings show. Rest of the country kind of digs it, too.
It's kind of the biggest game of the weekend, and so everyone watches.
Or the year.
Gamblers
watch. Oh, it would be. It would be if Alabama and Georgia played each other.
They do play the next week.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. But this one's on the schedule every year, and this one is now going to be potentially cannibalized by the manner in which the Big Ten is choosing who makes their championship.
But would you rather win that game or a playoff game?
Well, I'd rather...
You know?
Well... I will go to my mortal coil. I will shuffle off this mortal coil, sir, saying I want to win that game, period. But, you know, if it's more important to beat them the following week.
Or 2 weeks down the line, or, you know.
Oh, my God. That's coming. You better get used to it. Yeah. Ken Rogers, the executive producer of Hard Knocks, and Overreaction Monday coming up.
And that's kind of what Jay's talking about. It's the new world we're in for, like, rivalries. See ya.
Yeah.
That stuff's over. Better or worse? I don't know. I guess we'll see.
The rivalries aren't over. It's just the way in which we grew up watching college football.
But some of them, if they're in different conferences now, they're not going to play each other.
I mean, USC and Oregon, UCLA and Washington is a Big Ten game.
Right. That is now. Yeah, that's
right. Now, for us, that'll be weird. But those four are definitely going to play each other every year because it's geographically sound to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then who do you add to that? That's why I said Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin are the ones.
Makes sense geographically. Not going to have UCLA play Rutgers every year.
But
know?
Is it fair to make Nebraska and Washington get on a plane for each other when Michigan can bust to Michigan State every year? You know,
and those are the breaks.
Potentially Ohio State bus to, I don't know, they probably don't get on a bus to go anywhere else, but an hour long flight to Penn State, New Jersey to Penn State, Maryland to New Jersey.
Also, getting to some of these places is going to be pretty difficult.
I guess you're chartering now.
They got the money.
The official airline of the Big 20. Somebody's going to sign up for that.
Yeah.
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yes, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.